Hello, and welcome to the Heaven Bound Podcast. My name is Jason Harden. I'm here with Roger Schaus, and we're opening the Bible in search of fuel for your spiritual journey. This is where we talk about life the way it was meant to be, what it means to be a disciple of Jesus in the 21st century. We appreciate you joining us on the journey. Roger, we have been talking ever since this podcast began on Fridays about the concept of being heaven-bound.
Heaven-bound kind of is a theme that we've just stuck with ourselves around here. We just love that concept. Heaven is our destination. That's what we want. Doesn't matter what you do in life, if you miss heaven, you've missed it. And to get to heaven, you have to get on that journey. It has to be bound. So we are a heaven-bound people. We are people who are going to a specific place, a specific destination. And so in January in our podcast, we used the analogy of driving in a car on a car trip. And we talked about how important it is to have the right direction. I mean, you can have everything together in your car, but if you're not going the right direction, you're not going to get there. We talked about the fuel. Got to have your gas tank all the way filled up, and that was the input. Input's the Word of God. Input is our relationship with the Lord. We talked about the acceleration or the speedometer, which is on our dashboards, and that's the output. That's becoming what the Bible shows us that we should be. And then we talked about that temperature gauge, which you also find on your dashboard. And that's the internal workings of an engine. That's the temperature within our hearts, the right attitude and the right spirit and all those things. And so the month of January, we just kind of walked through that concept, looking at a car and looking at ourselves in a spiritual concept of that. Here in February, we've gone just a little bit farther from that. And we talked about being on this journey, and you could have your car ready to go, going the right direction. Everything's just running smoothly, and then you run over something, you have a flat tire, and that ruins your trip. And so here in February, we've been talking about common flat tires that can hurt our faith and get us sidetracked from being heaven-bound. We've already talked about the idea of being hurt by others, particularly other Christians, and the powerful lessons of forgiveness and how we need to be able to open our hearts up and allow grace and forgiveness to take place. Then the second time in the month of February, we talked about keeping the right attitude in a toxic world. This world we live in is hostile. It's very ugly. We see that in the political climate, and we see that at work all the time. And so as a Christian, how do I keep from not becoming like that? How do I keep the right spirit within me? And we've kind of talked about those things. And then last time, we talked about some days I just don't feel like doing what I should do. And it's not a matter of knowledge, it's a matter of want to. And all of those earlier lessons are on our podcast. We encourage you to go back and listen to those if you missed any of those, or you might want to just kind of review some of those and just kind of put them all together as a little package there. And today, as we wrap this up, we want to talk about one more flat tire, a flat tire that I believe is very prevalent today, and that is there's times I do not take God seriously. God says things, but I think differently, and I just don't do what he says.
You don't have to read very far in the Bible before you see that is a common human problem. It began in the garden. You have the tempter who comes in and begins this dialogue with Eve. Did God actually say? And Eve is able to rehearse exactly what God had said through Adam. And then Satan leading Eve down the path. Well, no, you won't. No, you won't die. And immediately, on what we have as page 3, essentially, of the Bible, we've got the fork in the road. Am I going to take what God has said seriously? Scripture, Old and New Testaments, have many accounts of people who didn't take things nearly as seriously as they should have. Moses comes to Egypt and gives warning after warning to Pharaoh, probably the most powerful man on the face of the earth at that point. And over again, you read those chapters in Exodus, you've got a front row seat to a powerful man who isn't taking what God has said seriously. Some of Israel's own kings, You think of someone like Ahab and Jezebel, who are warned in a variety of ways, and they fail to take what God has said seriously. It's one thing, as we talked about on Wednesday of this podcast, just a couple of days ago, one thing to get on that bridge and see what has been preserved in God's Word for our learning. But we need to admit readily, this is not an ancient problem that has gone away. This is a problem that, of course, afflicts the world around us, those who don't believe in God or have yet to submit to Jesus. But within this heaven-bound concept, this can be a flat tire for the believer in Jesus.
And there's usually some reasons behind this. And it's really a type of thinking that's just not correct. So someone comes to the Bible and they're reading their Bible and they come to the conclusion that God just has to say stuff like that. God's kind of like a parent. You know, parents just say stuff, but they really don't mean it. Or a school teacher. A school teacher says all kinds of stuff, and the students are sitting there thinking, that's just them talking. And actually, what comes out oftentimes from students is they'll wonder within themselves or even ask out loud to the teacher, do we really need to know this stuff? And I think that thinking connects to us spiritually. God has written this great big book, over 1,000 pages, but do we really need to know that stuff? Or as students sometimes say to their teacher, we will never use this stuff. And again, that thinking connecting to us spiritually, here's all these verses, here's all these chapters, I'll never use this stuff. And so I just don't take what God says very seriously.
Maybe the student asks, well, is this going to be on the test? You know, the teacher is up there lecturing and, okay, I hear what you're saying, but what I'm really interested is this going to be on the test? And we chuckle at that, but maybe that is the way some of us have a tendency to view the Bible. What do I need to know and do in order to be okay on the judgment day? And to view the Bible and to view a relationship with God through that lens is to miss the point altogether. God is seeking to give me life now. Abundant life begins now, when I start walking with Jesus. I need wisdom now. I need light for the path now. And so it is not simply a matter of, well, God has to say stuff like that, and I'll kind of listen with a little bit of an idle ear and, you know, come back to this sort of stuff when it seems more pressing. How else might somebody not take very seriously what God has to say?
I think somebody also, again, thinking that's not really correct is the idea that I really know better. It's kind of like the speed limit signs. You're driving down the road and the road takes a curve and you see on the sign speed limit 50. Well, that's for those old ladies. You know, I can handle that curve at 70. And, you know, so that really doesn't apply to me because I know what I can do. And again, that thinking just won't take the Bible very seriously. They'll see these passages and say, well, that's for all these other people because they can't handle it. I know I can handle this stuff. And so I go on through my life just doing what I want to do. And the thinking oftentimes comes out with, I'll just do enough to get to heaven. And whatever it takes to get us passing grade, whatever C is for God, that's what I'm going to do. And that thinking misses the whole purpose. It misses that life that God wants us to have. And it misses all the joy and the blessings of becoming the character that we can be when we have followed Jesus Christ.
When I think of the man or the woman who says, I think I know better, either with their mouth or by their manner of life, I think of the book of Proverbs planted right there in the middle of our Bibles. And there are lots of examples contained there encouraging us to stay away from the danger zone. We talk here at Charlestown Road every once in a while about guardrails. guardrails are there to keep us out of the danger zone, and better to hit the guardrail and be redirected than to just plow right through and suffer dire consequences. So, for instance, Proverbs 23, verse 29 beginning, asks the question, just right, putting it all right out there. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has strife? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? And the answer is those who tarry long over wine, those who go to try mixed wine. Do not look at wine when it is red. This giant warning sign in Proverbs 23. Do not look when it sparkles in the cup and goes down smoothly. In the end, it bites like a serpent and stings like an adder. Here's the warning, and it's not hard to understand, but you and I both know we've talked with people. We see people who live with a complete awareness that that scripture is right there, has been there for 3,000 years, and yet will say, I think I know better.
Or they'll say, we all do a little wrong. Everybody does a little bit of wrong, so it's okay. It's just okay. And God has a great big warning label, great big red light, and we're just flying through that red light thinking, I'm different. We remind in the book of 1 Corinthians where Paul talks about if someone thinks he can take heed lest he thinks he can stand, because he won't. He's going to fall. The pride behind all this, that I know myself better than God knows me, I know I can handle these things, is just bound to get a person into trouble.
There's another example in Proverbs 6 and 7 about sexual temptation. In Proverbs 6, verse 20, Solomon begins addressing his son. He says, my son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching a light, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. There it is. That's what we're talking about. It's not just tell me whether or not this is going to be on the final exam. This is the way of life. These commandments, he says, will preserve you, for example, from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. Do not desire her beauty in your heart, and do not let her capture you with her eyelashes. In verse 27, he asks this piercing question. Can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? Or can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? We know the answer to that question. And yet for thousands of years, people have lived saying either verbally or by their manner of life, I think I know better.
They'll say, it's just a little flirting. I mean, it's just innocent. We're just having a little fun at the office, you know, and she flirts with me and I flirt with her, and it's not going to go anywhere. It's just fun. So how can that be so wrong? What would you say?
I would say that the creator of male and female, the creator of sexuality, the creator and giver of life and light, knows exactly what he's talking about. He has told us what he has told us for our good. What one of the things I love about Proverbs is it has a keen way of teaching us, I don't have to go down every wrong pathway there is in order to figure out what's not just right and wrong, but what's wise and foolish.
Now, in the next chapter, Proverbs chapter 7, we have, again, the continuation of this thought. And let me just share a few of these verses with you. It says in Proverbs 7, verse 6, for at the window of my house, I looked out through my lattice, So here's a guy, you can imagine a guy maybe at the kitchen sink, and he's just looking out the window or his front room. He just looks out the window, and here's what takes place. He says, I saw among the naive and discerned among the youths a young man lacking sense passing through the street near her corner, and he takes his way to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the middle of the night, and in the darkness. And behold, a woman comes out to meet him, dressed as a harlot, cunning of heart. She is boisterous and rebellious. Her feet do not remain at home. She's now in the streets, now she's in the squares. She lurks about every corner. Here's a guy's looking out his window and sees this young kid walking down the street. Wrong street, wrong time of day, talking to the wrong person. And to what we say, just not taking what God says seriously. He's walking down a dangerous place morally, and he doesn't see it. As the chapter develops, it says in verse 21, with her many persuasions, she entices him. With her flattering lips, she seduces him. And then it says in verse 22, suddenly he follows her, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as one in the fetters to the discipline of a fool. Now, I don't see a lot of ox around here in southern Indiana. But I do drive down the highway, and I see one of these trucks with a bunch of little pigs, and their little noses are sticking out those little gaps there. And they're just going for a little joyride, but I know they're going to become bacon. They don't know it, but I know that. And that's what's being said here. And he's just having this conversation. He is so naive. He's not paying attention to what God says. And the next thing you know, she has him. Verse 23 says, until an arrow pierces through his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life.
What started as a flat tire ends up costing him his life. You know, when I think of this idea of, I think I know better. My family and I recently rented a car, and we were on our way back into the airport depot where all of the rental cars get returned. And I think just about every airport has it now where, you know, you pass through five or six signs that encourage you, warn you, as you're coming in to turn this car back in, do not back up, because you're driving over these spikes, essentially, these metal spikes. And as you're going the right way, those things lay down. They smooth out. You've got a smooth way to go as long as you're heading the right direction. But if you stop and you back that car up, you're going to get four flat tires real quickly.
And you're going to be paying for them as
well.
You're
going to be paying for them.
So as we think about this, not only does God have instructions for us on moral things, he also has some positive instructions about how to connect with him, how to grow. God wants us to worship with him. God wants us to read his word. God wants us connecting with his people. And again, the same thing can fit in with these positive statements that there's times we just don't take it seriously. You know, I could be down to church house, but, you know, I just don't want to, so I don't. I could read my Bible, but, you know, it's okay. I could be saying some prayers. I could be connecting with people and doing things that God wants me to do, but you know what? It's okay, because I know better. And again, we really don't. And so through these things, what we need to see and build upon is this idea that God says what he says for a purpose, for a reason. He says these things to help us to become the best that we can be. The best marriage is a marriage that follows the Bible. The best marriage is, or the best relationship is one that does what God says about friendship and forgiveness and grace. The best citizen is one who follows the principles of the Bible. The best worker is one who has the attitude that God demonstrates in his Bible. And so when we do what God does, we take it seriously, then we're going to become what God does. It's when we become foolish and think we know better, we're just like that young man in Proverbs 7 walking down the street thinking we know what we're doing, and we really don't.
You drive long enough, and you're eventually going to get a flat tire. That's just the bottom line. That's a part of life on the highway. And we hope over the course of the last four Fridays, thinking in these sorts of terms makes that point personal and practical. Maybe this is exactly where you are, and it's time to pull over. It's time to give the needed attention. Maybe it's time to ask for some help. Maybe it's time to approach God's Word with fresh eyes, renewed zeal, ready to rededicate yourself as winter turns to spring and you get back on that heaven-bound journey. We want to emphasize just about every time we sit behind these microphones, this is available to all. The opportunity to join Jesus on this journey to heaven is available to all. And sometimes we need help. Sometimes things come up and life just isn't turning out the way that we thought it would. But in Jesus and his people, that help is always available.
And when we have flat tires, and we probably will, as Jason said, it doesn't mean it's a complete failure. We know when we have a literal flat tire, we don't walk away from a car and say, okay, I'm just going to leave it on the side of the road and we'll buy me another car. You change the flat. And that's what we have to do. You got to put some effort into it. You got to figure out what's going wrong. How come I'm not hitting on all cylinders with God? Why does God seem distant to me? Why do these problems keep reappearing in my life? It's time to look at some things, do some evaluation, but understand that it doesn't mean it's a life sentence, doesn't mean you're a complete failure. The old prodigal, looking at the pigs, wanting to eat the pig food, woke up, came to his senses, and he came home. And God will allow all of us to come home. So we need to realize that if I'm not serious with God, I can become serious with God. If I'm someone who just think I don't have to do these things, I can realize I need to do these things. If I got toxic people in my life, I can learn how to deal with them as God wants me to. If I've been offended and hurt by other people, I can learn to forgive as God has forgiven me.
We have been at this now, as hard as it is to believe, for 2 months, and I don't know about you, but I have been so encouraged by the feedback. Just about every time we are with our church family for Bible class or worship, someone is talking about some aspect of some episode that has touched their lives and helped them. We have gotten word over the course of recent weeks of people listening to this podcast in India, in Japan, in all parts of the globe. And number one, to God be the glory for that. But number two, that just shows you the power of God's Word even in 2020. One of the most encouraging things to me here recently has been hearing from some very young people who listen to the podcast with a mom or a dad on the way to school or after school on the way home. We've got some very young listeners, and we love that. And so next Friday, what we hope to do is, okay, let's say I'm in sixth grade. What's it look like to be heaven bound as a sixth grader? Or let's say I'm 16 years old. We want to look at this concept from the heart and the life of someone who is very young. Maybe from there in a follow-up episode, talk directly to parents and grandparents. What can we be doing actively to help those growing hearts among us to be heaven bound? We appreciate so much you listening. Roger, I know you appreciate as well. Any closing thoughts for the day?
Just keep going. I mean, that's the whole idea behind heaven bound. Just keep on your journey. You get sidetracked a little bit. Well, just get right back on that destination and stay with it and stay with it. And you will be so glad you did.
We hope to have you join us next Friday. Of course, there will be a Jumpstarts Rewind next Monday, this week at Charlestown Road on Wednesday. But we appreciate you joining us today in this journey. We hope that it has helped you set your mind on things above and given you a little more fuel for your journey. As this weekend begins, remember, when you're walking with Jesus, you're heaven bound, and the best is yet to come.